Well, folks, thanks for being here today. We're going to continue on in our series in 1 Thessalonians. I'd encourage you to just grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be for most of the time today, but just great to have you each here with us connected. Years ago, Kathy and I did some respite care for a mom who had a little girl. The girl's name was Tashana, and she was around 2 years old. I remember taking her to church with us, and after the service, she was with me up on the platform, and as we were on the platform, I'd finished up doing what I was doing, and I was walking off the platform with her, and I took her hand. I was holding her hand because she wasn't really steady on her feet. And so as I held her hand, we were walking off the platform, which had 3 steps down to the main floor, and she just kept walking. She didn't even think about those steps. She just held my hand and walked as if there was no steps there. And if I hadn't been holding her hand at that time, she would have fallen and probably hurt herself. Yet she held my hand, and as she held my hand, she had faith that I would keep her safe as we walked off that platform. She felt that I would keep her safe. She had faith enough to believe that no matter what happened, as long as she had her hand in my hand, she was safe. She felt that faith for that. And what a powerful illustration that day it was for me about having great faith. That we needed to have faith in our Father, our Heavenly Father. We needed to put our hand in His hand and walk where He leads us, trusting He will keep us no matter what's happening, what's going on, what the circumstances look like. We needed to have that faith. And that really spoke to me, to Shanna that day, walking off that platform. I'll never forget that. And as we read through the Gospels, we notice Jesus stating a number of times about how people had little faith or lack of faith. There is strong contrast also throughout the Bible. Incidents such as that found in Matthew 15. There we read of a Gentile woman who approached Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter, who was suffering terribly from demon possession. We read in Matthew chapter 15, verses 25 to 28, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is only one of a couple of places in the New Testament where Jesus tells someone they have great faith. In those days, a woman would never approach a man in public. Especially a Gentile woman would never approach a Jewish man. This woman risked everything. She risked abuse, humiliation, shaming. This woman could have been filled with doubt and apprehension, thinking, there is no way I'm going to talk to Jesus. He will have nothing to do with me because I'm a woman. But instead, she was filled with great faith that Jesus could and would heal her daughter, no matter what the circumstances or the situations were that surrounded her. I also think of the great faith of the woman who had the issue of blood. In Luke chapter 8, we read how she pushes through the crowd just to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. After having this issue for 12 years, she believed that if she could just touch the robe, the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. Even though Jesus doesn't tell us that this woman personally, that she has great faith, I think she does, as she too doesn't risk anything to reach and touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. She believes that if she could touch Jesus, if she could just get right that close into his presence, that he could and would heal her. There are many different illustrations of great faith throughout the Bible, and we could be here all day talking about them, but it's just impressive how great faith is so powerful in our lives. And as we move on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10 today, we notice that Paul and the Thessalonians have a faith, and I think it's great faith. Today we want to look at some of the attributes of that great faith that they had. So let's start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and the first half of verse 3. So, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. Great faith is not unsettled. It's not moved. It's not shaken by the circumstances that surround it. We've seen that with the woman who came with her demon-possessed daughter and the other woman with the issue of blood. Paul had to leave the Thessalonians when visiting them. 1 Thessalonians 2:17 declares that they were torn away from the Thessalonians. The Greek word used for here is very strong. It's a picture of a child and a parent being forcefully separated permanently from one another. You can imagine how the parent or a child would feel if they were forcefully separated, the trials and the trauma that they would go through as they're torn away from each other. This is how Paul and the Thessalonians felt about the separation they have had to endure. It is a huge trial for both Paul and the Thessalonians. Paul is so concerned. He's concerned as he has not been able to see the Thessalonians and has not heard how they are doing. Paul is wondering how his spiritual children are doing with all this going on. He longs to go and visit, but he knows he can't. So Paul sends Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians in their faith so they won't be unsettled or, as the ESV puts it, moved by the trials which Paul and the Thessalonians are both experiencing. The Greek word here for unsettled has the idea of being filled with fear and submission. This is Paul's concern that the Thessalonians might start to think, what is the point? What is the use? We might as well go back to our old beliefs, as this doesn't seem to be working. Look, Paul's being persecuted and we're going through all these trials. Paul is concerned about all that is going on, the trials and persecution and that out of fear, the Thessalonians will just submit to the pressures around them and return to their old ways of life. Great faith doesn't give up in the midst of the trials, though. There are times when, as we are tempted and tested, we might get tired and weary and even unsettled of doing what's right, of continuing on in our faith. An illustration of this would be like exercising. Have you ever started exercising and you've worked really hard? Maybe you're running, or maybe you're lifting weight and you're eating healthy. I'm not sure what you might have been doing, but you do it for 1 week and maybe 2 weeks and maybe even a month, and you go, I don't know if there's any point to this because I don't see any results. I still weigh the same. I don't feel any better. So you just say, I might as well give up. There's no point. And this is where Paul thinks that the Thessalonians might be. Why bother with our faith, with doing what is good? And that's maybe where we get to in our faith. Why bother with doing what's good with our faith? Other people seem to be doing okay, and they just do whatever they want to do. Yet we're encouraged in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Just think, just like if we don't give up exercising, if we continue on, eventually we will reap the benefits. We will reap the rewards. We will feel better. We will lose weight. We'll look better. We'll be toned more. Great faith is not moved and does have its rewards in the end. Just think of the two women we talked about earlier. Their great faith was not moved by the circumstances around them. They both experienced rewards. They experienced healings, one for her daughter and the other for herself. Great faith is not moved, but stays the course. Another attribute of great faith is that it stands the test. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 3 to the first half of verse 6, we read, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when we could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. Paul and his companions have experienced a great deal of testing and persecution. Paul was concerned that the tempter, that Satan, had come along with his trials, and that the Thessalonians might have fallen to them. There is no doubt that trials will come into our lives. James chapter 1 verse 2 exhorts, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. James uses the words, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Note, he doesn't say, if you face trials, or you might face trials, or you'll only face trials in certain areas of your lives. No, he says, whenever you face trials. The idea is that we will, without a doubt, face trials on a regular basis in many different areas of our lives. Trials are going to be a commonplace thing in our lives. They're going to come. Think about it. We've surrendered our lives to live for Jesus and to do His will. We've gone from darkness to light. Satan has lost his grip on us. We are no longer walking in his kingdom, but in the kingdom of God. And all he has left, all that Satan has left to defeat us, is to put us through trials and tests in hopes that we will give up and abandon our faith. This is exactly what Paul was concerned about. Yet as Timothy comes back from his visiting the Thessalonians, he brings good news about their faith. What do you think this good news was? Well, it's obvious. It was that they were continuing to stand firm in their faith, even in the midst of the trials and tests. Peter was talking about the devil, and he wrote, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." We can resist the devil. We can resist Satan by standing firm in our faith. Paul declares that we need to put on the full armor of God to stand against the devil's schemes, to stand against his trials and his temptations and all the things he brings against us. And part of that standing firm and standing against the devil's schemes, is the part of the armor is the shield of faith, which extinguishes some of the fiery arrows. No, all the fiery arrows that Satan will throw at us. All his schemes, all the schemes of the enemy. We can stand firm when we put on the armor of God and have the shield of faith. Having great faith doesn't mean we are so spiritual that Satan will just give up and not bother us anymore. No, it means that he will attack us. But we have great faith. Great faith is not only for us. It's not only so we will be able to stand firm on the ground in the midst of the trials. It's not so we just won't be moved. But our great faith affects others. As we move on, verses 6 to 9, we read this. "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Do you hear the excitement in Paul's words? I mean, when we heard about your great faith, we were encouraged, and now we really live. Like it just sounds like, and now we're really going to party. We're so excited about how strong your faith has been. And we can't thank God enough for you. We are filled with joy when we are in the presence, in God's presence. Why? Because of you. He's excited about their faith and how strong they're standing. Folks, are we not the same? We get excited when we hear of the great faith of someone, or when we see a person's faith in actions. Hearing about faith encourages us. I think that is probably one of the reasons why the writer of Hebrews included a whole chapter, chapter 11, all about heroes of faith. It's an exciting chapter. Take time to read it. As we walk in great faith, others will be encouraged. It is not that we are boasting about what we have done through faith. No, we're just living out our lives, and as others see or hear about it, they are encouraged. Having great faith doesn't mean we have got the faith thing, the faith aspect of our lives down pat. Paul has just told the Thessalonians how encouraged he is by all their faith. And in the very next verse, verse 10, we read this. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul now states that as great as their faith is, it's not perfect. It's lacking something, and he wants to help them. He wants to come to them and help them in their faith. Great faith doesn't mean that we have arrived and there's no room to grow in our faith anymore. We've topped out. That's not what it means to have great faith. Even the apostles in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, ask Jesus to increase their faith. I'm not sure about you, but there are times when I need the Father to increase my faith. Sometimes I have great faith in certain things, in certain areas, but there's other times when I'm not so sure about my faith, or my faith wavers. And I need to grow in my faith. I remember in Kimberley, and some of you know this illustration, but we were trying to pay down the mortgage in the church. And for a number of weeks, we were going to take a special offering on a certain Sunday. And for the weeks prior to that, we announced that we were going to take this special offering. And one of my board members came to me and said, "Pastor, what do you think we're going to get for an offering? What are you expecting?" And it was just a small congregation, probably the size of this, maybe a little bigger. And I said to him, with great faith at that moment, I said, "You know, I think we're going to have an offering of $5,000. And he said, "Wow." Well, the Sunday morning came when we were to take the special offering, and that morning before church, the same board member came to me and said, looked at me and he said, $5,000. Eh? And at that moment, my faith went from great to, well, we'll see what God does. And my faith wasn't very strong. But I remember they took the offering and the board member came up right after they'd counted the offering and gave me a slip of paper, and the offering was over $7,000. I was blown away. I just wept. My faith had wavered, but wow, did the Lord increase my faith that day. It's exciting to see how the Lord will do things to increase our faith if we would just ask him. Maybe we're struggling with our faith right now. It could be with a health issue, financial issues, relationship issues, or any number of issues. Maybe you're struggling just believing the word of God, believing it in its entirety, or believing that Jesus really did die on the cross for you. Whatever it is, we need to be like the dad in Mark 9 who brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus to be healed. Jesus told the man, you just need to believe, to have faith. To which the dad said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, help me overcome my unbelief, my faith, my lack of faith in this place at this time. Lord, my faith needs a boost. When our faith falters, great faith gets back up and presses into Jesus. It's coming to him and saying, help me. Help our unbelief. Great faith is there for all of us as we put our faith in Jesus. As we press into Jesus, our faith will not be moved when the trials and tests come. We will stand firm as we carry the shield of faith on a daily basis. We will continually ask Jesus to increase, to grow our faith. And our great faith will be an encouragement to others, and they will step out in faith for the kingdom of God. Great faith is ours, but is all for the glory of the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your words in 1 Thessalonians. We thank you for the entire word of God. We thank you that as we read it, it increases our faith. And Lord, we thank you that as we see faith working in the lives of others, it increases our faith. Father, we thank you that there are times when you reveal to us how great you are, and that increases our faith. Father, we want to be men and women of great faith. We want to move forward for the kingdom of God. We want to have faith so others will see and come to know you. We want to see Cache Creek and Ashcroft and the surrounding areas. We want to see them come to know you. We want to see your love come down and move the hearts of the people. And Father, we are men of women and women of faith, believing that you will increase the kingdom of God in our areas. Thank you, Father. May we walk in faith for you. In Jesus' name, amen.